God will meet your every need, and you are complete in Him. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Bill Winston as they conclude this week's teaching, Growing Up into the Fullness of God.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is Friday's edition, and I'll tell you, this has been some kind of week. Nobody has been ministered to any greater than I have. I came in here one way, and I'm going out another. Praise God. Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for sending this man of faith to us to help us and build us and strengthen us with your word. And we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to the scripture for that we began with this week in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where in the 19th verse, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth, or the creation there, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
They're talking about this natural creation
that's correct.
We live in.
That's correct.
That this creation, the economy.
That's right.
Now, all this mess that's going on around.
That's right.
This whole thing that God created is earnestly expecting, hoping for a manifestation of the sons of God. Even if they don't know what they're looking for, that's what they're looking for. Now, I really need to get this. But I really need to get this out of you. I want to hear. The reason why it is so earnestly expecting and hoping for a manifestation of the sons of God is because the sons of God are the carriers of the blessing, which is the answer to all the junk that's going on. God, you remember when Isaac, the famine hit in the 26th chapter of Genesis, and so Isaac's going to do like his dad did. The famine hit. He's fixing to go to Egypt. And the Lord appeared to him and said, no, don't go down there. Stay here. Why? God used Isaac to break that famine. He needed him. He's the only answer those people had.
See, and that's a type of church, Brother Copeland.
Absolutely.
See, this sometimes if you take it and read it, these scriptures sometimes, and then flip it. Because I remember one time you were preaching on the blessing, and we were in Genesis, and you were talking about how powerful that curse was. But then you say, well, why don't you just flip that? And then you get an idea of how powerful the blessing is. I mean, this what I'm saying is, look how much came through this one man. I mean, this are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing on that coastline. When Jesus and the disciples were on the boat going to the other side in Mark chapter 4, what happened was a storm came up. Well, they were supposed to do something about it. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. They woke him up. He rebuked the storm, said to the sea, peace, peace, peace. There was a great calm. He looked at them. He said, wait a minute. Where's your, how come you have no faith? I don't understand. You don't need to wake me up for that. And then they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Then they got to the other side, and there was a demoniac full of demons, loaded, that Satan was using to control the coast. Flip it. There should be a believer that God is using to eliminate the flu from this whole area.
Oh, I see it, man. I see what you're saying. The blessing of the Lord is far greater than the curse.
My goodness. That's what I'm talking about.
You know what occurred to me right now? I've never had this thought in the 40 years I've been in the ministry. Not only were they disciples of Jesus, this is seed of Abraham in that
boat. That's correct.
They had as much power as Joseph did.
That's exactly
They
right.
had as they much sure power did. As Isaac
they
did.
Sure did.
They had as much power as Daniel did.
Yes,
they had as much power as Moses did. Mm-hmm. They had as much power because of this covenant with Abraham, but they didn't know anything about it.
Goodness.
And they should have known what manner of man this is. This man is a seed of Abraham. That's what manner of man he is.
And that's why he was functioning like it. But I'm saying, if they just turn that and see how God could use one man to stop flu from coming in that whole region, he could do that.
Yeah.
He could do that.
Man. Now, what's got to happen is the concept of our new birth being so powerful. There is enough power in you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, every flu demon on this earth, just rise up and run from you if you know who you are in
Christ. That's exactly right.
If you don't, you're going to just snort and blow right along with the rest of them.
I call it a kingdom mindset.
I went down, I remember back late 60s, I was preaching down in South Texas. And Brother Hilton Sutton's dad pastored the church down there. I was preaching for Dad Sutton. And I got there and he said, Brother Copeland, he said, I'm telling you, couldn't guarantee you $50 if you stayed a month. I said, well, did we say anything about $50? He said, no. I said, well, forget that. But come find out, flu had hit that whole area down back when the Asian flu.
Gotcha.
Now, you know, I never heard of the heaven flu or angel flu. It's birds and hogs and some other place. Anyway, he said, I'm telling you, Brother Coleman, he said, just about my whole church is out sick with the flu. So, first thing we did, I mean, we got our oil bottle and we headed to the people. And man, I'm telling you, there was only one man that didn't just rise up with it, and he wouldn't act on it, and it took him a couple of hard weeks before he finally did. But the rest of them just anointed them with oil. I said, yeah, praise God, just got out of bed and here they come. Well, I didn't know then what I'm beginning to realize more and more and more now. Now, don't just lay your remote down right now, because I'm going to say something. I don't want you changing the channels on me. We need Jesus. He meets all our needs according to his riches and glory. Bill, Jesus needs us. Now listen, I told you I'm going to say something ugly if you're not listening to me. We meet all his needs according to his riches in glory. Now, that ain't all that religious. There's a lot of people choking on it right now. But I don't care if you are. Get in the Word and check it out for yourself. We are the fullness of him. Nothing happens in this earth. He don't just come dancing around somewhere and say, watch this. No, he uses men and women, the blessing of the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit. All of this is in the church.
Lord. Can I say that the church is the most powerful, for lack of other words, institution in the world.
Absolutely.
Watch this. Ever.
Ever. Ever.
And I got scripture to back it up.
And ever will be.
Correct.
Jesus said it.
If we're a part of him, now I'm going pretty far, Brother Copeland, so you just keep me on course here.
No, I'm turning you loose.
But if we're part of him, he has made no distinction between the head and the body.
Not one bit.
And he is the part of the Godhead. What does that make us? I'm just asking questions.
Well, the scripture said we are complete in Him. Bill, here's how this hit me one day like a freight train, man. And there is the Godhead made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now listen, there is a man in the Godhead.
Yes, indeed.
A born again, resurrected man in the Godhead. And we are bone of His bone.
And
we are flesh of His flesh. We are one spirit with Him, made to sit with Him. Where?
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places, is which is what? In the Godhead. I had somebody jump on me one time. I mean big time. You know. Kenneth Copeland, you just raise yourself up equal with God. I said, no, I didn't do that. He did that. He made me sit together with Him. He didn't allow me. He made me to sit together with Him in heavenly place. Well, you just pull God down here on your own level. I said, no, I didn't do that either. He come down here of His own free will. That's the gospel. That's what God was after all the time, Bill.
This thing is by revelation.
Yes, it is.
And people who don't have revelation of it fight folks who do.
Now, we don't walk in this in some sassy attitude.
No.
You have to honor yourself to this.
Yeah.
You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. He didn't feel like he's robbing God, could say, me and my Father. Well, I had to get over the idea that I was stealing from the righteousness and the deity of Jesus to be called a joint heir with Him.
See there?
I'm not stealing from Him. I have humbled myself to that. And I still have to do that all the time, man. I wake up some morning, you know, smelling my own stink, man. Shut that up. Get back up here on the throne of grace where you belong, man. Amen.
Now, let's look at what God thinks about that kind of mindset, the not really accepting what He said about us. It's over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's just look at that for just a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look what he says here. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 5.
Wait a minute.
In verse 5.
All right. Go ahead.
He said, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon this earth. That's what he's saying there. That's exactly what he's saying. You're not taking your place. Those folks who are not supposed to be in that place got your place, and then you got down here in this place. That's an evil.
That's wicked thinking.
That's wicked thinking.
You would have to come to the place if you judged your own thoughts. You would have to, you're born again, washed in the blood, believer, praise God, made the righteousness of God in Him. And then you start fussing with that kind of thing. And you would have to judge your thoughts as an insult to the blood and the cross of Jesus. Sin is greater than the grace of God. It's not.
I preached that the other day. I preached it. I'm telling you, I said that where sin did abound, grace does much more abound.
Much more.
Much more. And he said, they that receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign. And the Amplified says, as kings.
Bill,
in this world.
I've been... This is one of the first things I found out over 42 years ago. I began to preach it. Well, I just nearly got skinned for it. But over the years, I still have to obey that scripture in the book of Philippians where it says, let this mind be in you. You have to renew your mind to this. Your flesh take you over if you don't. But you have to continually, constantly submit and humble your thought and your words and your life under the mighty hand of God. Mm. You submit to the fact that I am a child of God, and it's time for me to be manifest as a child of God and not a child of the devil. He is able to make all grace abound toward me. But it didn't mention it. It just said he's able.
That's exactly right.
Well, 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the God of all grace will settle you, establish you. Wow.
Over in Micah, I'm just going to read this one thing. Micah chapter 4, verse 9. Now, why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in you?
Oh, Bill Winston, where'd you get that?
In Micah chapter 4.
Oh, read that again.
And verse 9. Why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee?
Wow.
It's just a couple. That's what the enemy was after in Joseph. He received that blessing. He received who God saw him to be. He that enemy wanted to shake that out of his life forever. And that's why I preach that.
Is there no king in you?
My Lord. Oh, my goodness.
That's Micah what?
That's Micah 4:9.
There it is right there.
Is there no king in you? Why are you crying out?
For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Then I just kept reading three more verses. Said, isn't there a king in you? Yeah, buddy. I mean to tell you.
Now think about it.
What
kept them out of Canaan was a grasshopper image.
It sure was. It wasn't a giant.
There was no king in them.
Grasshoppers were one that kept them out.
That's what kept them out. The image. And it's what keeping the church out of much of what God has.
One
for
man
us.
Had Israel hiding in holes. That's against the whole army. One guy had them standing up there screaming and hollering.
No doubt about it.
And one little old boy.
Who had an image of a king.
Yeah, he did. Oh, my goodness.
And that's every one of us.
And Goliath made him king.
Exactly. Exactly.
Overcoming that giant.
There you go.
And that's the reason God's calling us to face the economy giant, the flu giant, that, the sick giant, the cancer giant,
everyone.
The whole thing, with the blessing of the Lord that's in us. Wow. Amen. And it ain't based on what we faced. No. It's based on what Jesus did Calvary and the resurrection from the dead. Now look over
in Joel now, chapter 2, because we've read that. And sometimes we need to go back here and just read the first part of that, because we've read how in Joel chapter 2, they'll come to pass, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we all know that. But the first part is what he's talking about the church. And there's a couple of things he said about it. Look at verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. He's talking about the second coming. So this is talking to believers here. This is talking the day of darkness and all gloominess of clouds and so forth and so on. Now look down here. He's talking about in verse 4, and the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, unique strength, and as horsemen, soldiers ride, like the noise of chariots on top of mountains. Come on down here in verse 7. And they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb and walk like men of war. And they shall march, everyone in his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Watch the next verse. Neither shall one thrust another and another. They shall walk, everyone in his path, and when they fall upon a sword, they won't even get wounded.
Praise God forever, man.
Put that in your spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No evil shall befall you, neither any plague.
A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains.
Mm.
Well, hey, if we're not there, I don't know what's going on around us.
Yes, sir.
A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Ain't nothing like the church.
Nothing like the church.
Nothing like
the Brother church. Copeland, we are far above principalities and powers. And sometimes we, you know, well, separation of church and state. Well, see, that in somebody's mind made them think that the church is down here trying to battle with people who are trying to make the state something and so forth. We are so far up above that until we can decree some things.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's been a strategy of the enemy to try to pull us down, to make us operate somewhere on the level of a natural man. And that's been his strategy all the time.
Now, if he works on both ends, if he can get strife and unforgiveness
in us,
then he can make us think like a natural man.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, my.
You see.
Now you can see what he's after.
There you go.
Because he can't control the church.
But you look at it, and Jesus asked the question to his disciples when he was talking about, Peter was talking about tax money. He said, well, now who do the kings of the earth, he's referring to royalty. He's continuing trying to paint a picture that Joseph had painted inside of him that the enemy was trying to shake out of him and couldn't do it. And he rose up and ruled the
world.
Yes,
he did. Yes, he did. And he affected Israel forever.
Forever.
My.
Is there no
king? What he did affected Egypt for many generations after he had already died and left the scene.
Exactly right.
What he did was still affecting Egypt until the last, the last 50 years there.
Exactly.
When they forgot about Joseph.
That's right.
And when they forgot about Joseph and they started acting like they was acting, God got them out of
there. Got them out of there.
My, and raised up Moses.
Is there no king in you?
Is there no king in you? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's a king in you. So the thing that needs to happen, the king needs to get on the outside and the servant needs to leave town. Praise God. And we're out of time. Brother Bill and I will be back in just a moment.
Are you tempted to walk in fear because of today's uncertain times? God's plan for you does not include fear. Help is coming your way. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are sending their family to help you. Come to the Copeland Family Meetings with George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. The first one will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 27th through 29th at the Midwest Airlines Arena. Then later in the year, they're headed to Orlando, Florida, December 3rd through 5th for another meeting at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. Generations of powerful ministry will share God's word to bolster your faith. Come be refreshed, renewed, and healed. Get into the blessing in action. 3 days, 6 services, 1 divine appointment. Don't miss the Copeland Family Meetings, August 27th through 29th and December 3rd through 5th. Admission is free. For more information, go to kcm.org.
How do you get these words that have gone into you in these few minutes that we've been on the air here? How do you how do you make that your own? How those CDs and DVDs and reading your Bible, how do you get that food digested in your spirit the way food digests when you eat it with your mouth and it becomes part of your body? How do you do that? It's right here. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Now, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's tied. He said, you're supposed to respond to that, but how do you do it? You sow something. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. The Greek word is zoe, the life of God. When you, and I do this all the time. I've done it for many, many years now. When I get something from the Lord, I immediately sow concerning it and receive it. That's the digestive part of spirit receiving of the word. And that word that's gone into them becomes mine and starts working in me and working in me. Instead of just going in there and then getting choked out by something like Jesus talked about in Mark 4. So, that's the reason that Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, reveal to people now what their part of the finances of this ministry is and how to sow into it. Reveal to them what they should do and how they should do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those receiving this radio and television internet broadcast outside the United States, your offering stays in the very same area where you're being blessed. It's in that same location. So you made, as you sow into it, and you do it according to what God says to you about it. He'll let you know what to do about it. He'll let you know when to do it. So it'll be working right there where you are. It does not come to the United States. It stays in your area. Two more days left of the Southwest Believers Convention. We have healing service over to church, and there was a woman saw it on television, and she just got on an airplane and come to the church and got her healing from Mexico, man. She was living down in Mexico someplace. Yeah. So, KCM.org, that's the place to go and find out. Thank you, Bill. God bless you, man. Hallelujah. We'll see you next time. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at KCM.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.